Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is the time in our service where we take the Lord's Supper together. It's a time when we can examine our hearts and remember the cross from which we've been forgiven for all of our sins. And to help us with both these things, I'd like to meditate right now on 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. Let me read it for us. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So together, as we prepare to take communion, please walk with me through this verse and let it lead us to examine our hearts, and to remember the cross. Observe the first four words. The saying is trustworthy. What Paul is about to say in this verse is trustworthy. It can be trusted, and there is no need to doubt what is said right here. Though what your ear is about to hear in this verse might sound too good to be true, no doubt this is a very truthful saying. But the saying is even more qualified. Look at the next statement. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. So this saying about to be made in this verse is not only something that can be without a doubt trusted, but it deserves to be fully accepted. Trusted is not a lie and let into your own heart and mind with full acceptance. At this point, we might think of several statements we hear throughout our day that we accept as true without a thought to it. Examine your heart today and this week and ask yourself, when have you listened to sin's lies and accepted them as true? And here is a saying that we might find hard to believe, but is trustworthy and is deserving of full acceptance. Let's now move into this saying and prepare your hearts to accept and trust what is said. Look at the next phrase. The saying begins that Christ Jesus came into the world. This first part of the saying points to the incarnation. We know God is omnipresent, but this verse speaks to a time when God the Son made a physical appearance in the history of this world. He became a baby. He was born in a manger and was praised by shepherds and wise men. There was a specific time when Jesus, the creator of the world, became flesh and dwelt in the world. Think about this for a second. This is hard to believe and hard to comprehend, but this is the first part of this trustworthy saying. Without a doubt, Christ Jesus, God the Son, came into this very world that we live in. So the saying goes on and answers the question, why? Why did Christ Jesus come into this world? Look at the next two words, to save. This was the mission of Christ, to save. Now, there are some things we learn about the saving up to this point in this verse. It couldn't be done by anyone else but God. Man had thousands of years at this point to save himself, and it was useless. It also means that God's saving plan involved the miracle of becoming man. It doesn't say an angel came or another man, but the Lord himself came to save. And now the last word in this saying, who did Christ Jesus come to save? Sinners. He came to save sinners. And it's that word that also shows us what it was we needed saving from. Our sin, the penalty of our sin, the power of our sin, and the presence of our sin. Do you remember a time when you were in need of saving? Do you remember when you were under God's wrath? Something that you could not save yourself from. Do you remember that you were once enslaved, trapped by your sin, and in desperate need of a Savior? But there's something else here, something in this word that is most encouraging for us right now. Something trustworthy. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It doesn't say Jesus Christ came into the world to save only the good people. No, Jesus knew those whom he was saving. Sinners like us, sinners like you and me. We've sinned this week and this month, probably this very day, and Jesus knew this when he came. He wasn't coming to save the good. He came to save sinners like us. Think about this as you examine your heart. So often in our hearts, we try to convince ourselves that we're not sinners, so as to appear righteous before God and other men. We try to minimize our sin and make it not sin. But God knows what I am and what you are. We're sinners saved by Jesus. This is trustworthy. If you have a hard time identifying, look at the end of this verse. It says, to save sinners of whom I am the foremost. And who said that? Who said he was the foremost sinner? Paul. The man lived a life dedicated to the gospel. He was beaten and imprisoned and killed for the sake of Christ. And he planted who knows how many churches along the way. And he doesn't say, I was a sinner. He says, I am the foremost. The point here is we can't get near to the glorious light of the gospel without it shedding light on the darkness of our sin. And there in the full light of the gospel, when we're found to be sinners, what joy when we read this verse that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And this right now, as we take communion, we proclaim our trust in this trustworthy statement. But if you're here tonight and you haven't put your trust in this, then just let the bread and juice pass you by. Know that these things are true for you. You are in need of saving. You're enslaved to your sin and under God's wrath, and Jesus came into the world because you can't save yourself. You need a Savior. And so we plead with you to trust this saying. Recognize your need of saving, recognize your sin, and trust Jesus' work. He died on a cross and took our punishment. He came to save sinners. So as the men come forward, go ahead and take the bread and the juice on your own.